talk about movies, maybe a joke or two. It's pod on the cob. It's pod on the cob.
Hi there. Thanks for tuning in to Pod on the Cob, your favorite podcast that's about movies and about corn, but more importantly, movies with corn in them. If you would like to support the show, you can rate us on your favorite podcasting platform. You can follow us on social media, or you could just keep listening. Either way, we're happy you're here. My name is Stephanie, and I am here with my co-host, Tyler.
Hello. Welcome.
That's Tyler. And thanks for joining us. We're pretty excited about what we got for you today.
Yeah, something a little bit different. I always like the fact that we sort of present this and people don't know the work that goes into it. The blood, sweat, and tears, you know. Because typically, you and I, we watch a movie separately from each other. And we get. I have a notepad. I know you have a notepad, a notebook. And I get my special pen out. Ooh. And as I'm watching the movie, I'm jotting down notes. You know, I'm pausing it sometimes and saying, I need to write this down. Notes where I see corn. Notes where there are things I like. Notes where are things I don't like. Mm-hmm. Important plot points so that we can talk about the whole synopsis. And tonight, you and I, we are we're basically Whose Line Is It Anyway?
We're veering from the path, so to speak.
We are. And the reason we are doing that is because you and I literally in the last hour just drove to a movie theater together with Critter. And we saw a movie in theaters that we are now going to discuss on the podcast. We didn't have notebooks in the theater. We didn't type on our phones obnoxiously. So we are coming in with only our memories and our feelings to talk about tonight's movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're using these steel traps in our minds
to really rehash.
But Tyler, what movie did we see? What are we even talking about? Why are we here? What is happening?
Who are we? Why do we do this? Well, tonight we are talking about 2025's Clown in a Cornfield, directed by Eli Craig, starring humans that I've never heard of in my life, except for Will Sasso, who I remember from Mad TV, and a bad guy from Lost. And that's the cast.
Well, it has like a girl from, if you ever watched the show on Netflix, Ginny in Georgia, which I know, I'm sure you didn't, but she was like the friend in that show. So she wasn't even the main character.
Who was that in this?
The main girl.
Katie Douglas,
exactly.
Katie Douglas in this plays a 17-year-old who, I looked up her age, she's 27 in real life. So, but she is teeny tiny, as Critter liked to point out to us. She's a very, so to be clear, we saw this with Christopher, your
husband.
And we saw this with your sister, Kajon.
Yes.
And it was a treat.
It was very fun.
And I'm excited to dig into it. But before we dig into it, Steph, just give us a little taster. Yeah. The quick synopsis. What is Clown in a Cornfield?
Yeah, I'm so ready for this. Following the tragic death of her mother, 17-year-old Quinn travels across the country to Middle America with her father to start a new life. Surrounded by nothing but cornfields and angry adults, Quinn quickly discovers there's more to this town than meets the eye. Generations collide. Killer clowns are on the loose. No one is safe. Can Quinn, her father, and the future generations of this town heal from their traumas?
That is far too generous of a synopsis for this movie. That is far. I mean, for example, and here's what I'm... Okay,
it's
so
true.
It's everything you said, every word you said is true. It's beautifully written, as always. I... So here's typically what we do in the podcast is you and I will literally recount the entire like story of a movie beat by beat. But because we just saw this and because we weren't able to like take notes, we're going to do this differently where we're just going to kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
And you have given me so many wonderful segues because if we're going to talk about Clown in a Cornfield, I have to start by saying you've given it far too much credit for what it's about in terms of its depth. Yeah, I even forgot that her mother died. Oh, yeah. By the way, spoilers. Spoilers. Nothing that Stephanie said is really a spoiler because the mom's like not in it. It's like something that happens before the movie starts.
Yeah.
But we'll just say this is a brand new movie. It just came out. It's in theaters. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about whether or not we recommend it later on. Mm-hmm. But spoilers regardless. Spoilers for Clown in a Cornfield. Skip to like, I don't know, 40 minutes from now or so. And you can probably start listening. It's probably safe. If you care about the plot line for Clown in a Cornfield. And I'll tell you right now. You don't care about the storyline for Clown in a Cornfield. You don't.
I'm sorry, what? What storyline?
Yeah. So this movie is, I think you and I did our best to not talk about it too much in the car, but some things just slipped out. And so I'll say something that I've already said to you in the car, which is this is the most boilerplate, paint-by-numbers movie I think I've ever seen in theaters. Literally, I was doing the checklist mark in the air. The whole, because it was just like, it was all just like everything that you think would happen in a movie happened in this movie.
Mm-hmm. In like a scary, I'm using air quotes, killer clown movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, scary in air quotes for sure. This is rated R, baffling rating for this that it's rated R. You could have cut out two F words and rated this PG-13 easily.
So they could say easily. Fuck like what, five times or whatever?
Something like five times. Yeah. So I went into this and I think you did too. I thought Clown in a Cornfield was going to be like a gore fest. I thought it was going to be like a cheapo Terrifier knockoff. And it's not.
So I went into it originally thinking it was going to be just like hilarious. And then I'm in the kitchen getting ready to get picked up with Chris to go see the movie. And he's like, this is going to be like super gory. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? He's like, there's going to be intestines. I'm like, what? What? How do you know that? What did you already? And he's like, no, that's just like what this movie is going to be. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to have to close my eyes a bunch and be like squirming in my seat. But I'm really happy to report that I was right. And I mean, Chris was partially right. There was the first like bloody scene. It was like guts, but it turned out to be like fake guts because it was like a prank. Because of course, the first like death has to be like a prank death.
We do get a good death at the very, very start.
Should we jump in and kind of just...
Play do our best to recap it. Do our best. Yeah.
Let's just play
I think that unlike most, so for those of our regular listeners, I don't think we're going to do like a real honest to God synopsis of the movie because it's like, it's just too hard to do. We'll hit the big story beats and it's going to be quick because this is like paper thin.
We'll spare you that like hour 15 of Children of the Corn. Final
Yeah, our longest episode ever is one of the shortest movies we've watched. You and I spent 50 minutes talking about Interstellar and an hour and a half talking about Children of the Corn 2. It's not lost on me how fucking funny that is. I don't think we're going to spend very much time talking about Clown in a Cornfield.
Yeah, and if you're still listening, if you've tuned back in since that episode, I want to say thank you.
Yeah, good on you. Good and on you.
We're super happy you're here.
Wait till we get to 3, 4, 5, 6. Just wait. This, I guess that's an interesting comparison to make is like having just watched Children of the Corn Part 2, The Final Sacrifice, and now watching this, which they're similar in terms of how I felt about them.
Okay.
But I'm curious, like, what was your, before we go too story heavy, you know, what are your thoughts on like it as a movie, especially compared to that last movie, right?
Oh gosh. Okay. Clown in a Cornfield. It was kind of like the reverse of Children of the Corn. As far as like murderous entities.
That's true. That's a good point, actually.
I will say there were points during this movie where I kind of wished for He Who Walks Between the Rows to like appear and like murder some people in the cornfield.
any creative spark.
Yeah.
I would have taken any creative spark beyond it being just like what it is.
But oh man, I don't know. It's tough, like, leaving my own opinion aside, it's tough to kind of really, I feel like they're really similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
except one being a lot older, and then this one being, like, maybe more tongue-in-cheek, like, self-aware with, like, some of the lines and stuff.
Totally. So one of the things about Clown in a Cornfield, I think that's important to know before you see it is they try to do this thing where you can't make fun of it because they're in on the joke.
Mm-hmm. They're making fun of it first.
Right. And here's the thing. That doesn't work on me because there's still a lot to make fun of here that, like, you can't just, like, tongue in cheek say, this is bad. So we've already said it for you, so you can't judge us. And I'm sitting there like, bitch, I'm eating popcorn. I'm definitely judging you.
Yeah.
I'm judging. Oh, yeah. I would say that this is like the exact reverse of Children of the Corn 2. Because Children of the Corn 2 for me was like really boring until like the last third. And then it was like super entertaining. And this was like really entertaining for like 2/3. And then the last third was like really boring.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Ironically enough, as soon as this actually turned into a proper horror movie, it got really dull.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait to get into some of those deaths. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dig in. Let's dig into the best of our recollection. Let's dig into Clown in a Cornfield. Right. We start in the 90s.
Yes. And what is the star of the first shot of the first scene of the whole movie?
Immediately corn.
Immediately there's corn, and I'm like golf clapping in the theater because this is what we came to the movies for. Like,
this is what they pay us the big bucks for right here. Us to see movies that immediately start with corn.
Yes.
That put a smile on my face.
I'm really like starting this podcast and going on this journey of movies and corn. I feel like we're starting to see a pattern where like the movie opens in a cornfield. Immediately you're set in rural middle America. There's going to be a barn. There's going to be like some bored, like rowdy, horny teenagers. There's going to be like people who want to kill you. There's going to be like judgy, like assholes who are lame. And this really checked all those boxes.
It does. It's very, like I said, it is the most by the numbers movie imaginable. Everyone is, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
So let's keep going.
So we start in the 90s. A bunch of teenagers are throwing a like kegger at a barn. While everyone's partying at this kegger, a girl is like sitting in the corner, mopey, and like playing with a Jack in the Box.
I will add the Jack in the Box is branded. It's this whole town is. Like everyone in this town works at this factory, and this factory is a corn syrup factory. So they're mass producing corn to then process into corn syrup, and that's like everyone works there. That's where everyone makes their livelihood. And apparently they have a mascot, and the mascot is a clown.
Friendo.
Friendo the clown. And they've been around since like the early 30s, and they have, for whatever reason, they have like merch for this factory, and this little Jack in the Box isn't just like a regular Jack in the Box. It's like branded with that corn syrup, with the city that they're in, the clown who's the mascot.
I saw a Red Letter Media episode one time about the movie Annabelle and about how making the doll Annabelle so scary looking, it makes her less scary because you would never make a mundane product that would be given to a family that would look like that.
Yeah.
And the clown mascot for this corn syrup company is like the exact, it's like so evil looking that you're like, why would you ever fucking make that your mascot? He looks like he's going to murder teenagers. Yeah. And that's literally what he does in the next 5 seconds of the scene. He murders a couple of teenagers.
Yeah. So the girl winks at her boyfriend. They basically go out into the cornfields to get it on and get run through by a pitchfork.
It must be a pitchfork.
They can like lift you up above their head. This clown is like super strong apparently.
And then the movie starts. That's like the James Bond intro for our movie, right? Then the movie starts, and we go to modern day. And modern day has never felt so aged and like a person who is in their 40s wrote it than now. It's like, because the whole movie is presented as if they're all like Gen Z, but clearly it was written by somebody who's not Gen Z, and it just absolutely reeks of that. Like, it's all so like, for example, our main characters, and I know we'll get to the how we met them in a second, but I have to finish the thought. It's like guy in Letterman jacket, like, you know, like it's like girl with like perfect straight blonde hair and like perfect headband. Like, they're all like cliches that have existed in movies since like 1950. However, I'm getting ahead of myself, because first we meet our two main characters. I think her name, you said her name is Quinn?
Quinn.
Yeah. I'm glad you know her name.
Yeah. That's pretty much the only name I remember. Oh no, I remember another name, but I'm not going to give that away, because it's a great name.
I know the name that you're leading up to, by the way. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Casey Yana is going to love this part when we get to this person. Okay. Sorry. Finish that thought.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of another through line with these movies we've been watching, especially these Children of the Corn movies, because it opens to a car driving through a bunch of cornfields.
Yeah. Yep.
Two people in the car arguing about something that's like kind of doesn't matter, but like you can tell, you know, they're at odds.
There's tension.
So in this scenario, it's the teenager and her dad.
Just like the last one we watched, but she's a girl this time.
She's a girl, and the dad's not a reporter. He's a doctor.
They're not sweaty. I'll give them that. They're relatively sweatless.
They had those like blotting papers.
Yeah.
Off camera.
Yeah, they're looking good. He's like obnoxiously cringe rapping to 80s rap, and she's like rolling her eyes and being like, oh, dad. And basically the premise here is like, you find out, you know, as the movie goes on, that he's a widower. His wife and her mom passed away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't ever come back or matter or change their characters or give them anything to do. But and so as a result of that, they moved to this town, and he's going to be the doctor in this town. And I guess he bought a house sight unseen.
Yeah.
Moved into it.
And it was like furnished too. So the person had died, and so they just sold everything off. With all the furnishings in it, and there was a dead animal in the chimney, and it was, this first part was like kind of slow and like kind of long. Like,
I was not into this first bit, because then also there's a weird smell in the house, and it's a raccoon that was stuck in the chimney.
Dead,
and the raccoon's covered in like really bad like CGI maggots. And I was just like, oh man, we can't even afford maggots. I have to assume maggots are like one of the cheapest things you can afford for a horror movie.
Like, and like, did you need the maggots? Like, it could have just been dead.
Bad. Yeah. So I was a little sus with the first bit. You know, I'm with you.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, what you said about it feels like it's written by like 40-year-olds or whatever is so true based on like the interactions that are happening. Cause like we're not teenagers anymore. And like, we're millennials, right? And we're not teenagers, but like the teenager, the dynamics I felt like with this whole generation thing in the movie were very like millennials and boomers, but they weren't the correct, though they weren't millennials and boomers, which I don't know, maybe that's,
well,
just...
no, it was supposed to be like, I think it's supposed to be Gen Z and boomers. But the problem is that the Gen Z actors were played by millennials and the boomers were played by Gen Xers. So
right,
it didn't make sense.
Like, Gen Z doesn't have boomer parents. Like, they have boomer grandparents. Like, they're not, that's us.
Right.
But that's, again, that's kind of splitting hairs.
Yeah, this is the problem with this movie is we keep getting ahead of ourselves. Because, like, it's, like, so easy to get ahead of yourselves with this movie, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, it's like, it's basically the intro to Casper the Friendly Ghost. she's the new kid in school.
Yeah.
She goes to school the next day. She's escorted to school by the creepiest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. This guy named Rustin. I know that's the name you were excited to say. Rustin.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was that.
Oh,
he introduces himself. No, that is the one,
yeah,
I'm thinking. But he introduces himself as Rustin and then goes, "You can call me Rust."
Right.
It's like,
right.
Why would you be called Rust?
Rust? You want to be named after that Alec Baldwin movie where that person got killed? That's what you're aiming for in life. So Rustin randomly, and by the way, this never is resolved. Rustin shows up at their house and takes her to school. And
yeah,
says
that's a
he
good point.
He's there to do that.
He's there to escort her to school.
And we never find out why. They never tell us why, by the way. I think something got cut from the movie.
Yeah.
But we find out that
he's like
the weirdo at school. He's like the weirdo, creepy
like the
weirdo.
Outcast.
But when she goes to school, she meets the cool kids, the group of people that end up, you know, accepting her. And it's like I said earlier in this podcast, they are like Goosebumps characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like cheerleader, tomboy, muscle man, cool guy,
mm-hmm,
black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so like, they don't have personalities.
I mean, their names are literally like Janice and Tucker and like Slash. Like, they just have this,
yeah,
like,
yeah. At one point, they go to a diner, and the lady who serves them food at the diner. By the way, of course, her hair is like in a beehive B-52s bouffant haircut, even though it's like 2025. And she's like, "What do you want, hun?" And her name is like Trudy or Doris. Like, everyone in the movie,
yeah,
is like, it's like the most movie. Every this guy Eli Craig who made this is like, "I've seen a movie in movies they go to diners and ladies are named Doris."
Dude,
and they give you pancakes.
Like, it almost felt like an Archie comic thing or something where like, I'm pretty,
yes,
sure one of the girls was Ronnie or Veronica.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it felt like that. With those tricks.
So we learn at the so she runs in, so she immediately runs in with a bad crowd. These kids are no good. They're filthy. They're bad kids. They're causing all kinds of mischief all over the town. So they have like a YouTube series where they make like shorts about, mm-hmm, a serial killer in the town who dresses like the clown mascot for the corn syrup brand and murders people. And it's a little bit unclear whether or not they know that has already happened. Because at the start of the movie, like we said, at the start of the movie, the guy in the clown costume kills the two teenagers in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they don't ever really call back to that. So it's like,
no,
are they doing this? So anyways, they have a YouTube series, but it's a little unclear if like the YouTube series is based on, you know, quote unquote, true events. Or if it's like an urban legend, they don't, it's never explained. I don't think it's ever explained.
Yeah, no, I think if anything, they just kind of say like, this is the legend of the town. And
yeah,
they just kind of think it's a joke. They're not, like, they don't seem to be scared or anything by it.
No, they don't. Yeah. This bad group, we sort of learn they're bad kids by Will Sasso, the biggest name in the movie, I think.
Is that the sheriff?
He's the sheriff.
Okay.
And he tells our main character Quinn and the dad, the doctor, that those are no good kids. They
yeah,
burned down a mill or something at some point, or a factory.
The corn syrup factory.
And you should stay away from them. Mm-hmm. But she, like, of course, doesn't. She starts hanging out with them. She kind of starts to get feelings for Cole.
Oh, look at you name dropping. I thought you were going to say Corn.
Corn. She starts to develop feelings for Cole, who's like the Judd Nelson character from the Breakfast Club of this group.
Totally.
They explain that they were in the factory the day it burned down, but mm-hmm. they didn't burn it down. And it's been proven in a court of law that they didn't burn it down. It was faulty wiring. But someone is trying to frame them for some reason. By the way, this little plot line doesn't make any fucking sense later on, but we'll explain, I guess, when we get there. But like the same people that would be framing them would be the ones who could like make the paperwork in the courts say that it wasn't faulty wiring. They could have easily framed them better is what I'm trying to say. But we'll get there. We'll get there. That night when she's hanging out with them, they prank her by pretending they're going to like pretend to murder her. You referenced this earlier in the review when you said there are fake intestines. A guy gets fake killed and has like fake guts hanging out of his stomach, but it's really sausage links. Mm-hmm. And it's like a prank. And it turns out that, you know, that's how you get initiated into the friend group and, you know, whatever. Don't think anything of it. She goes on, they drop her off at home and they, you know, you can pick it up from here.
Her feelings deepen for Cole, he happens to be the son of like the founders of the town. So he's kind of like a bigwig, if you will.
Right.
And a series of events take place and it's basically like, you kids and your generation, and they're all like, the adults suck in this town. And that kind of happens over and over again in different ways. They get arrested at one point. Like, they all get detention for something at one point, and it's kind of just like, okay, we get it. The adults have it out. And
for this generation.
So everything's kind of building up to this big event that's happening in town, basically like 2 days after Quinn and her father move there and she meets this friend group and falls in with them. It's like the Founders Day parade. And which I loved the friends, the teenagers were explaining it to Quinn and they were like, yeah, it's just like this day that my great grandparents invented to celebrate corn. And again, this got a small applause for me in the crowd, in the audience.
Our small group of four people loved every corn reference and pointed at the screen like dopes.
Yes. So that was really fun. The parade was great. There was some epic floats. There was two balloon like bouquets that were just like a bunch of balloons tied together that were corn on the cobs. They were so sick. They were super sick. There was a bunch of floats, with corn on them, stalks of corn, their big mascot, Frendo, what was his name?
Yeah, the clown's name is Frendo.
Okay, that just doesn't
like No Country for Old Men. A much better movie.
Frendo,
than this.
Okay, so Frendo was like this big paper mache float type of thing, holding a big stalk of corn.
Yeah.
And it was like really fun. And then the teenagers, they all find Quinn. She shows up and they're like, hold this phone and hit record. Like, we're going to pull our prank. We're going to make a video for our YouTube channel. And so she does. She's recording. Some guy comes out on a unicycle.
This isn't really explained. A guy in a clown mask.
Because I was like, who is he? Is that supposed to be their friend?
They never explain it.
We don't know who he might have supposed to have been their friend, but
No. I think he worked for we'll get to it. But they said that this guy accidentally starts a fire. And at the end, they accuse a certain character of starting the fire.
Oh, shit. Okay. So anyways, he comes out on his unicycle, and this is the prank. He's like in his underwear in like a whitey tighty. And
I don't think this is the prank. I think this is just a thing that happens to happen and coincides with them filming the parade. I'm not kidding.
No, because the... Okay, so he's coming out on his unicycle juggling bombs. Like, what look like bombs.
Yeah, like fake bombs.
Juggling them and with the creepy clown mask. And he's like, oh, and they're all laughing and giggling and recording. And the sheriff runs after him and is like, hey, you need to get out of here. That's why I think it was the kid's prank. Because the sheriff comes chasing after him.
We'll go back to this, but at the end of the movie, the ultimate villain of the movie cops up to having started the fire. The fire at the factory. Okay, but which character would this be on the unicycle?
The friend.
Which friend?
The white jock guy.
He's dead by now.
No, he hasn't died yet.
Okay, all right, sorry, keep going.
But he's like all skinny and looks like...
I know,
like
the jock guy's ripped. The jock guy is particularly ripped.
So it didn't make sense, but he was the only one of the friends who hadn't been killed yet and who wasn't
I think you're giving
there.
This movie too much credit. I think you're giving it too much credit.
Anyways, he starts a fire, whoever this masked person is, because we don't ever really find out.
Yeah, we never find out who the masked person is. They start a fire.
And it knocks down that, you know, 30-foot friendo float. And according to all of us viewers, us four sitting in the movie watching, it, like, we're pretty sure the clown fell and, like, killed a somewhat prominent character. But then they also, like, just cut away and just don't address it. So I think it did kill that... lady, I think it killed the mom of the like main kid, but they didn't address it, so I don't know if it just doesn't matter or what. But
right, yeah, yeah. For those of you who are trying, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to edit this conversation.
I know.
Here's the footnotes. If it depending on how I edit this, they go to a parade. At the parade, some unknown person that Steph and I cannot figure out who it is.
No.
It puts on a clown mask, rides a unicycle, juggles bombs, starts a fire, and the fire apparently kills somebody, but they never mention the death ever again. And the death would have been of Cole's mom. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the founders of the town.
Yeah.
Or the lineage of the founders. Yeah. And this is when they get arrested for this.
Yeah, all the teenagers get the blame.
You can see the problem that Steph and I are having with the movie here, where it's like a lot of like the beats of this make sense. The actual outcomes of these things don't really make sense. Or like not the outcomes, like how they happen doesn't really make sense.
And there's just a lot of strings and a lot of loose ends. Nothing's really connecting. You're kind of like, I mean, frankly, we're just like kind of giggling through.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, we're at like the halfway point, and we're just.
One thing we've left out is one character has died by now. And this is kind of what I was complaining about earlier with this movie, where it's like whether they're doing this on purpose or not. The black male character gets killed really quickly. Which is that's a trope in horror, the black guy dying. But like he dies really quickly and he's dead for most of the movie and no one seems to give much of a fuss about it. No one seems to know he's dead, but like no one seems to care that he hasn't answered their texts or showed up to anything. Also, the way he dies is in the middle of the night. And we know it's the middle of the night because they tell us in the scene. He's drumming at his drum set really loud. They're high schoolers. So he lives with his parents ostensibly. And he's drumming at his drum set and someone breaks in the house and slits his throat. And you're just like, but like, wouldn't someone, doesn't he have parents? Like, it's just like,
alone, apparently.
I guess, for like a long time, for the whole movie. They never address that he dies ever, by the way. They never bring, we never see his body. It's never acknowledged. He just dies. Mm-hmm. And so the parades are happening after he's already been killed.
Yeah.
And
the only mention is like, oh my God, what a jerk. Like, he's not responding to my texts.
That's right,
like,
right.
Kind of the girls in the friend group are like, we're so pissed. He's not even responding to us.
Right. his death is so-so, but then right after the parade, we get, like, they go to jail, and then they get busted out of jail by their parents, and we get, like, the best death. Because the best death is the bodybuilder guy.
The jock friend.
The jock guy. He's lifting. It's really the only good death probably in the whole movie, to be honest.
It is really funny.
He's, like, lifting barbell? He's lifting, like, a barbell.
Yeah, he has a bar. He's doing those weights where you lay on your back.
Yeah, you know, he's weightlifters. I got this. He's bench pressing.
Thank you. He's doing
a bench press.
Yes, he's bench pressing, but only three times. He goes,
one, two, three. And then,
like, oh, yeah, three.
And then at one point when he's doing it, the clown sneaks up on him and puts a saw. This explaining this is so awesome. It sounds so, it's so dumb. It's as dumb as it sounds. The clown puts a saw.
The dullest saw you've ever seen.
The dullest, rustiest saw, like, ever.
Guys, it's like those saws that, like, your dad or mom or whoever grandpa has in the, like, fucking garage that they bought in like the 80s that, like, you can work at something. You work at, like, a little stick for, like, minutes and not get through a little stick. Like, this is how it looks. It's those old-fashioned, rusty-ass, dull-ass saws.
And it, like, holds the saw up to the bar and, like, presses down until it literally pops his head off.
That's the guy.
Like a champagne cork. And his head goes into a cooler, which is really funny.
Conveniently, his head just rolls right into a, like, a little beer cooler and...
Yeah,
closes.
Like a Yeti.
Yeah.
Right. So at this point in the story, she's grounded. Our main character, Quinn, is grounded. She gets in trouble by her dad because she keeps getting in trouble with this new flock of bad kids. But that does not stop her from sneaking out and going to Cole's big barn party that night where literally, like, the rest of the movie takes place.
Yeah, that's true, huh? In that.
Yeah.
The rest of the night is the rest of the movie.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, she sneaks out, gets invited by Cole.
Cole Sprouse. My favorite of the Sprouses.
Jughead, right?
Yeah.
In fucking Veronica.
Right. But hey, Sprouses, if you ever end up watching this, loved you and Big Daddy. One of my faves. One of my faves. Anyway.
Do you like them in Sweet Life with Zach and Cody?
I love them. And Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. One of my faves. One of my faves.
Okay. And yeah, so apparently he throws this party every year after the Founders Parade, but he's 17, so I don't know when they started. Like, when you're a teenager,
what does
I guess
that even
you
mean?
Feel like
what does that even
it's like
mean?
Every year, it's like, this is your second year doing it.
And the party's really proper, by the way. For these, like, junky 17-year-olds, they have, like all these lights hung from
the ceiling. It's gorgeous. It's a really cool
It's, like,
cool party.
Really well
a
done.
DJ?
Like, they should do this for a living.
Yeah.
Except for no one's living for very long after this party, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. He gives a speech at the party. He tries to rouse up his generation and say, we have the power to make the change. And they're all like, yes, we're so inspired. Let's go.
Right.
We love you.
And then Quinn is so turned on by his speech that she coaxes him out of the barn into a different barn.
She runs him. She grabs his hand and runs him.
And then, and this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Then she tries to have sex with him she forces herself on him. And he protests really obviously
a lot.
And she won't stop and it's incredibly uncomfortable and inappropriate and then the scene ends with her being, like, mad at him for, like,
pissed.
Making her feel stupid, and I gotta say, girl, you are stupid. Like, he couldn't have said more clearly to slow down and to not have sex with him. So, yeah, you're in the bad here, not him. She races out of that room and goes back to the party where she runs into two of the other, like, the other two female, you know, characters in this little, like, ragtag bunch. And they are all cracking up and pointing and laughing at the cornfield because someone is stumbling out of the cornfield pretending to die, right? It's a prank. They're pretending to die, right, Steph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This girl, she comes out kind of choking and gagging and falls over, and we see this big arrow protruding out of her back.
Right. And they think it's a prank because they've been running these pranks as their YouTube channel for a long time now.
Yes. And the boys haven't texted them back that night. So they're like, oh my gosh, it's just like our guys trying to prank us. They're trying to scare us. So, and we're not going to fall for it. So they saunter over to this fallen person, another teenager.
Who, by the way, isn't anybody. This character, it's not a character. This person who died isn't anybody. We don't know who they are.
No.
They keep calling them Ginger, but that doesn't mean anything to me. I've been watching the movie, this 75 minutes.
I think it was
whatever.
The girl that Quinn sat next to in class. So,
it's like nobody. Her name. Yeah. Nobody. She's nobody.
We never learned her name.
Right.
And they're like, you know, kind of laughing, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, good one. Like, what's it like to be dead? You died so young. They're all quippy. And then this big object comes flying out of the cornfield.
This is my favorite part of the whole movie.
Crashes down next to them. Yes. And it's the head. It's the head of the guy who we just saw get his head somehow guillotine chopped off with a rusty ass saw.
And they're like holding the head and throwing it back and forth to each other. And blood is like comically splattering all over them.
They're like, oh my God, someone made a silicone head or whatever
out of our boyfriend. It's so funny. It's so good.
Then our homegirl, Quinn, she kneels down next to this person with the arrow protruding out of their back. She checks for pulse. For some reason, she's like,
she's got a hole in her chest, but she checks her pulse.
I can't feel a pulse. Yeah, there's no breathing. Her chest isn't rising and falling. Right. Anyways, I can't find a pulse. And they like look at each other and they're like, what? And then pretty much right after that, a clown comes running out of the cornfield, right?
Yeah. You can almost speed run the rest of this movie's plot really quickly because from this point forward, it just turns into like a big chase where like they start getting chased by a clown. The clown gets shot by Rustin, who shows up. For those of you who don't remember Rustin, I don't blame you. I also didn't remember Rustin. Rust is the creepy guy from earlier in the movie. He shows up. I think there's like some loose thing where it's like he used to be friends with them or something.
Yeah.
He shows up, shoots the clown. The clown dies. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, the movie's over. And then you find out there's like dozens of clown murderers, not just the one. They all come out of the cornfield. And the rest of the movie is like an extended chase scene, essentially, between all of these characters and these clowns.
Seriously, and it's like fucking Dead by Daylight out here with like a clown with a chainsaw, a clown with a bat with like nails in it, like a clown with a one of them have a frying pan at one point. I'm like, what the fuck? How's that?
Yeah, one of them had a frying pan because Doris. Okay, well, it's a spoiler.
Okay.
You know, fuck it, whatever. Spoilers. We're skipping ahead a little bit. All the clowns are the Gen Xers / they're pretending to be boomers,
sort
I guess, in
boomers?
The universe of the movie. They're all the people, the adults, the real adults that we've met throughout the movie are all clowns, and their whole gig is they kill the rebellious teenagers of the town every few years so that the town it doesn't if you're like listening to this and you're like that doesn't make any sense, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, they basically go like it's tradition.
Yeah.
It's like
So every Founders Day, they kill a bunch of teenagers, essentially. The leader of this little group is one of the bad guys from Lost. And he's like the mayor of the town, Cole's dad, one of the, you know, founders, you know, lineage. And he's like the head clown. He's the head clown. The kids are all like running away from the clowns. Cole is alive. We sort of thought for a second there Cole was maybe dead. Cole's alive. We find out that Rustin and Cole didn't want to have sex with Quinn. Now there's an extra like layer of fucked upness to it.
Yes.
Rustin sacrifices himself and they escape through a stinky drain pipe. and they run into the cornfield, and thank God for Steph and I, they spend a lot of time in a cornfield.
Yeah. They spend a lot of time in the cornfield. They run, they're, you know, again, like we said, they're running, all the while they're running from a bunch of killer clowns. They wind up at a road. A car was coming. They're like, we're going to flag them down. We're going to get saved. Turns out it was the sheriff. He was a total dick, and he arrested Cole. He arrested the guy.
Yes, he arrests Cole. Yeah, yeah. Will Sasso, the sheriff, he arrests Cole. You know, at this point in the story, we don't know the spoiler that we already told you, the viewer, which is that all the adults in the town are bad guys.
Yes.
But, like, it doesn't matter. Will Sasso arrests Cole.
It doesn't.
And the other kids run into the cornfields. And then we flash to what's going on in the actual town. Mm-hmm. In the town, Quinn's dad is looking for his daughter. And he realizes that the clinic that he works at as a doctor, ostensibly, because we've never seen it before, has a broken window. And he goes to investigate the broken window. And a couple of clowns hold him hostage because he needs to start stitching up a clown that got injured in the battle that we've been talking about with the teenagers.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm going to speed run
this. Seriously, whatever, yeah.
I'm going to speed run this. He kills them both. The dad kills them both and gets away. Okay, remember that for later.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not entertaining at all.
No. So pretty much Quinn is running through the clown... the clown fields.
The clown fields. Quinn in the clown fields.
Quinn is
clown in the corn fields. Or corn in the clown fields.
In the clown fields. Wow, say that 10 times fast. Quinn is running through the cornfields with the last survivors, which are the two girls of the friend group.
Yeah, there's three girls left.
Because the other guy got arrested and driven
away. Cole got arrested.
They both die horrendously bloody deaths with, like, chainsaws and pitchforks.
There is one funny part here in this movie one of these deaths where one of the girls gets stabbed with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
And Quinn's like, I've got to pull the pitchfork out of you so I can kill one of the clowns. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And she pulls it out and the girl says, I fucking hate you, Quinn, and then dies. That's
and then
really
the
good.
Clown, the dying clown right next to her goes, I do too. And they both die at the same time.
That was kind of funny. But yes. But otherwise, what you're saying, there's nothing else to talk about here. The two girls die. Quinn's the last survivor so far.
Quinn ends up getting taken by the clowns, by like a group of five of them or whatever. She wakes up in like a warehouse, but presumably it's the corn syrup factory. But like that burned down. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
We don't even know what state we're in this movie.
I don't even know what movie I'm watching at this point.
So she keeps getting electrocuted with a cattle prod. All the clowns take off their masks. This is the final reveal. It's the sheriff.
We already spoiled
this
for you, but this is where we find out they're all the bad guys.
They've also kidnapped Cole. So
yeah, well, Cole.
Because he got arrested. Yep. He is hanging by a noose from the ceiling. He's not dead. He's like on a platform or whatever you call it, where they're going to kick it out. Basically, the dad of Cole goes into this long thing about how he's going to stage it as his murder suicide. He's going to kill her and make it look like the kid did it and make it look like the kid killed himself.
Which, like, is that what they did? So the implication is that they've been doing this for a long time. So, in the 90s, when they stabbed those two people with a pitchfork, did they make that look like a murder-suicide? And if so, what was the murder-suicide? That a guy stabbed his girlfriend with a pitchfork and then stabbed himself with a pitchfork?
Right.
It's really dumb.
They don't get into that.
They don't get into that.
The clown dad doesn't get into that.
No, because as the clown dad is about to kill our main character, the dad, Quinn's dad... drives through the barn, runs into some clowns with his car, kind of saves the day, sort of, kind of. Gives them enough time that they can be like, there's like an escape.
Yeah.
Like,
couple of funny deaths.
couple of clowns die in funny ways. Quinn is able to trick Will Sasso, the sheriff, by dressing up like a clown. And then she like puts a cattle prod in his mouth and like makes his face turn into bad CGI black smoke.
Dude,
face.
That death was crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
There were some wild deaths in this movie.
Yeah.
None of them really involved Corn. Corn didn't kill anybody, that's too bad. Unfortunately. Yeah. But
no,
you know,
not
you
really.
Win some, you lose some.
There's a lot of corn, a lot of clowns, a lot of corn otherwise. Yeah. This all culminates in the final, you know, so now we've got Cole, the dad, and Quinn. They're the last survivors. They've killed all the clowns. I guess the main clown died. I missed that somehow, by the way. Like, I must have looked away for 1 second and the main clown died. But either way, as they're leaving, there's one more clown left. And the dad and the girl's like Quinn, one of the little subplots of the movie is that Quinn can't really drive stick shift.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, I don't know what to do. This car is stick shift. And the dad's like, use the force, Luke.
Yeah.
Drive the car with stick shift. And so she drives into the clown and it pops like a big bloody water balloon all over their windshields. And the movie should have ended there. But instead we got a horrible epilogue where she like goes to college, I guess. And oh yeah, and Rustin's still alive. And then it turns out Rustin's still alive and Cole and Rustin are like, they're in love.
They kiss. Yeah. They kiss and they're like, you smell bad. And it's like, you don't smell good either. That they just
then they
keep
kiss.
Kissing.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was Cloud in a Cornfield.
Yeah. Literally the final scene is she's driving away in her stick shift car to college. And she looks in her back seat and she sees that faded Jack in the Box.
Yep. To be clear, I guess we haven't said this. The Jack in the Box has kind of shown up a little bit throughout the movie.
Yeah. At first, it seemed like it was appearing to kind of like as a precursor of like the clown is here. He's stalking you and he's like places this here to like play with you and to scare you and is going to kill you. So it was kind of like you see the Jack in the Box, like you're going to get killed. I think was kind of what they were trying to do. But
right.
It didn't really come to fruition.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
At the end, she looks over at her passenger seat and there's like a clown, Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
And she just throws it out the window.
She throws it out the window.
And then the movie ends.
And it's
and
over.
That's Clown in the Cornfields. And we saw it in theaters. We spent money on it.
Yeah.
So what was the last line of dialogue in Clown in the Cornfield?
The last line was Quinn getting in her car. Her dad was like, you sure you don't want me to drive you? Kind of fussing over her. And she goes, love you. Bye.
Oh, that's a bad last line.
That was literally the last line of dialogue. So the scene where Tyler previously mentioned the movie should have ended is when they're like getting in this car and they run into this clown and it like pops like a water balloon full of blood. She goes, die, you clown motherfucker, as she's like running it over. And I literally pulled out my phone. I'm like, I have to, this is the last line. This is such a good last line of the movie. So I like type it in and then it goes to that other scene and I'm like, oh man, it's not the final line. And the final line was literally, love you, bye.
So that boring. Your die you clown motherfucker would have been an all-time ending line. If this review was a disjointed chaotic mess and you're sitting there and you're listening to this and thinking, whoa, Steph and Tyler are so bad at reviewing movies, this is what the movie felt like. This isn't a reflection on us. This is what the movie was like. It was just like absolutely by the numbers chaos. Like
It was like meme bait too. It was a lot of like lines, like one liner, like your generation, like you ever put down your phone and like just dumb stuff like that. and just kind of like ham fisted, like metaphor for like the current state of affairs. And like these guys, they're essentially like far right. Like idiots, and they're literally clowns. So it's like, oh, I get it. Like they're the clowns, and they're stupid. And it this one scene, the guy was like, the problem with your generation, and he's like carrying a gun, and he's gonna kill this girl. is that you think you're so much smarter than us. And then she turns out she was actually behind him and she had tricked him. And she's like, well, you're right. And like kills him with the cattle prod. Yeah. And it's like, okay. So
that's the cleverness.
It.
That's the cleverness that we're sort of dealing with.
As clever as it gets. Field.
Yeah. I this was so close to being so bad it's good, watch it every year with your friends, but it like, just like so many others that we've covered on this podcast, it falls short of really being so bad it's good for me. Like the first bit of it, the middle bit of it, when someone who's way too old to be writing a teen drama, like, that stuff's great. Like, the absolute disconnect generationally that the writer of the movie had with the Gen Z, that was wonderful. But, but it suffers from a very slow start and a very slow end. And, like, you know, I know that we're telling you the ending, and it sounds exciting. Like, a bunch of clowns, and there's murders, and there's all these exciting deaths and stuff. I know that sounds exciting, but I gotta be honest, the end was when I was on like my phone in the theater the most. Cause at that point it was so obvious what it was going to be that it lost all the charm that had kind of built up for me throughout. The earlier scenes were funnier because they were weird and I liked them the way a scientist likes to study a flaw in evolution. The first bits of this movie was like looking at a panda bear and being like, how have you not adapted better to your conditions? But then the end, I was just like, yeah, I don't know. It was just like a typical slasher movie by the end.
Yeah,
so
and it was kind of just a slog at the end there.
Yeah. I didn't like, I think I liked it just fine. It's not going to end up on like my favorite movies of the year, but it's also not so bad that I'm going to like put it on my least favorite movies either. It was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I probably ended up liking Children of the Corn 2 more, I think.
Okay. Okay. I thought this one was funny. Like, this one was funnier because it was so ridiculous. But yeah, if I could see Children of the Corn 2, The Final Sacrifice in theaters, then I might change my mind. But
there was something about seeing it in theaters that made it more funny. Yeah. Our audience was especially funny because there was like 9 people in the theater.
Yeah.
And like the people in front of us were taking flash photos of the
and
movie.
And giggling the whole time.
And giggling. And then the people behind us were like having a ball too. It was very laugh out loud funny at times, but it wasn't that consistently enough for me that I'm like putting it on like a midnight movie with my friends.
Yeah.
It's not like, we still haven't quite reviewed one on the podcast for me. Yeah. That's like sit down with your friends, laugh hysterically at like the incompetence of this. It wasn't that bad. It was better than that. It was, but like that almost makes it worse because it makes it slightly more dull, I think, you know?
Yeah. But you know what? Luckily for Clown in a Cornfield and for our listeners here at Pod on the Cob, we don't care about regular movie ratings. We take IMDb, we take Rotten Tomatoes, and we throw that shit out the window.
That is true. We do.
Here at Pod on the Cob, we rate all of our movies on a different scale, on a different rating system. And what's that system, Tyler?
Well, we call it the Cob scale here, Steph. And really what it means is if we give something 5 cobs, it means it couldn't have more corn. It's the corniest corn in a movie that you could possibly corn.
Uh-huh.
And if we give it 1 cob, then, you know, that's low. That's lower than 5. We would say that has little corn.
Yeah.
So
it's very like, scientific.
It's very scientific. Yeah. So and actually, as scientific as it is, famously, Steph and I sometimes interpret this a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm curious to find out, Steph, what did you give Cloud in a Cornfield as your Cob rating?
I am giving it like a pretty sturdy, hefty 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
4 out of
5. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going, so you're going firm 4, hard 4. I'm going like soft 5. So we're like in the same.
Okay.
There's a lot of corn.
There is a lot of corn. It's beautifully featured. I said, the balloon corn. Like, I want that at my next party.
We're closer than these ratings might make it sound. Like, a hard 4 and a soft 5 are, they're basically kissing.
Calm down, Tyler.
I'm sorry, I'm all heated up by all of the lack of nudity in this rated R horror movie I saw tonight. Listen, everyone watching this, I gotta say, almost no gore, no nudity, hardly any foul language or suggestive themes. I don't know why this was rated R. I'm shocked. Shocked.
I think it's literally just so they could say fuck.
That's dumb.
As many times they wanted.
That's dumb. Yeah. More blood. If you make Clown in the Cornfields 2, Electric Boogaloo, more blood will be my mandate for you.
Right.
No, but as far as corn presence goes, you know, multiple, not only scary scenes, but death scenes that take place in cornfields. The whole town's industry is run by corn that gets turned into corn syrup, corn balloons, corn in a parade. It squeaks. It's like squeaks by at 5. But it could be a 4 for me as well. It's like right there.
That's a good point. And corn was more predominantly featured not only in the title, but in most scenes. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. I loved at the very beginning when Quinn and her dad are just getting to their new home that they've never seen and that smells like dead animal. They walk in the front door and like in their foyer where most people have like pretty houseplants. There was like a pot with dirt in it full of like dry stalks of corn.
Okay, like I'm not crazy. I thought I saw that and I was like, that would be crazy.
No, they were growing corn. Whoever lived there was growing corn.
Thank you.
Inside.
I'm so glad to have known that I'm not crazy about that. That is wonderful news. I saw that too. That was great. I guess because this is in theaters, you and I should do a quick, like, do we recommend this or not?
Okay.
Even though we're not rating it, I would say the recommendation levels would be go see this in theaters, see this in general, you know, like someday, or like skip it entirely. Where are you at?
I feel like I'd say for most of our listeners could probably just skip it. If it's really calling to you and it sounds like kind of funny, maybe see it with a friend. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Sadly, same. It's right there. So if you're curious, I would not recommend seeing this in theaters. If you are like, I don't know, I'm still kind of curious about it, wait till it's out on like Tubi or Pluto TV and see it there for free.
Tubi.
But honestly, I'm with Steph on this one. I just feel like there's better stuff out there. That there's better stuff out there. It might not be stuff that has corn in it, but there's better schlocky slasher movies written by people in their 50s that are trying to write movies for 17-year-olds that you can go see and enjoy. Casey Yana is going to get this joke, but and if you've seen if you're a big Red Letter Media fan, you might get this too. But ditch Clown in a Cornfield and go watch Wish Upon. If you want like a dose of like out of touch people writing for teenagers, it's much funnier and schlockier, and I think you get more out of it. Unfortunately, I'm kind of with you. I think like I don't necessarily recommend Clown in a Cornfield. But we did see it, and we saw it in theaters, and here we are talking about it in our podcast. And we're so glad that you were here for this.
Yes. Pretty much the second Tyler found this title first, but pretty much the second he learned that there was a movie coming out called Clown in a Cornfield, he texted me and I was like, yeah, we have to see that. So it was fate, and it was very fun. And we just are so thrilled to do these crazy ass fucking things for you guys, for us, and you guys are along for the ride. And it's amazing.
Yeah, we have a blast doing this. Next episode, we are going to show you how much we love you by doing a fan-requested episode. We'll be covering a movie that has been asked for and voted for by the fans. And then we are, we haven't quite talked about what we want to do at the end of June for our second episode of the month, but there is a movie coming out in theaters, another one that has corn in it that I'm hoping Steph will want to see with me in theaters. We could do another episode like this where we don't remember anything and we talk
like we love absolute
lunatics. But for now, I would say the best thing that you could do is engage with us on podonthecob@gmail.com or go on the Instagram podonthecob, or go in the blue sky podonthecob, or go on TikTok podonthecob and write us comments and engage with us there. I always like to read the comments in episodes when we get them, specifically the bonus episodes, things like that. Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment, leave a review, subscribe, like, all that stuff. If you're watching this on Spotify or any other podcasting platform, leave us a review, comment, all of that. We really appreciate how active everyone who watches is, and we have a lot of fun with that.
I know. Is there anything else?
I guess the only thing left to say is keep cobbing on.
Peace.